Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio this first day of March 2024. I expect to be joined by John Carman, who's a regular co-host on Fridays, and subsequently I have a featured guest who is running for Congress here in Wisconsin, and she will be joining at the bottom of the hour. John's trying to join me here, but three reports are extremely disturbing, namely, dangerous and irresponsible. France's Macron floats the idea of sending troops to Ukraine. European and NATO leaders shoot his lunacy down, but today he has reasserted his position that if Ukraine loses the war, Europe is going to come to the defense. Not only that, but it turns out that our very own Pentagon chief is making the same assertion on Yahoo News, Lloyd Austin, claiming the United States is going to come to the aid of Ukraine, if in fact it's losing. This is just ludicrous. But it's worse than that. Get this, Scott Bennett's on a Russian program, and they're talking about leaked conversation of a high-ranking German officer talking about taking out the Crimea Bridge. Listen to this.
To discuss this development, I'm now joined live in the studio by RT correspondent Steve Sweeney and former U.S. officer Scott Bennett. Thank you both for making the time to be in the studio with me today. Steve, I'll start with you with these bombshell statements. Won't Germany have to provide some justification? After all, this is a discussion about an attack.
I mean, these are quite shocking revelations. The transcript that we've just heard and that we're seeing now, that German top military brass have discussed how to attack, and not just attack, but destroy the Crimean Bridge. This, of course, has been a frequent target for Ukraine and its backers. Now, they describe this as a target of strategic and military importance. But obviously, the issue then is that when does this become a direct involvement in the Ukraine conflict? This is something that Germany has consistently denied. They're talking about the Taurus missile. This is a long-range missile. And how that this can be used to target ammunition dumps as well as the Crimean Bridge. Now, Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, has come under fire from British MPs just recently over his reluctance to supply the Taurus missile, and they were criticizing him for actually blowing the cover or giving away intelligence secrets. Now, this was Alicia Kearns, one of the Tory MP, and Tobias Elwood. Both of these are linked to the British military intelligence. So, of course, Germany has we'll have to somehow come up with some justification for what we're hearing now. And if you cast your mind back to last year, Baerbock, the German defense minister, was talking, of course, about she made an off-the-cuff statement saying that Germany is at war with Russia. And, of course, that was rolled back very, very quickly. So this is a very interesting development.
Gerhard, it doesn't matter. We need to ensure that from the very beginning, there is no mention that would make us part of the conflict. I am exaggerating a bit. But if we tell the minister now that we plan meetings and will drive by car from Poland so that no one notices, that's already participation, and we won't do that.
So, of course, there we hear it from the horse's mouth. There, the German top military brass are looking at ways really to cover it up and make sure that they're not directly linked, that there is no suggestion or nothing can trace it back to them, that the blame can be pinned on them for being involved in the conflict.
This is quite interesting. Let me quickly turn to you, Scott. It turns out Macron was right about sending troops to Ukraine, and his NATO allies are just putting on a poker face. Is that how you judge this situation?
I judge this as a declaration of war or preparation for a declaration of war by a bunch of incompetent buffoons in France and Germany and these NATO countries. This is not aiding and abetting any Ukrainian Zelensky operation. This is pre-planning for a war, a declaration of war against Russia. That's what an attack on the Crimean Bridge would be. This is what the Germans are lying about when they say through Scholz, oh, no, we will not be going to war against Russia. It's a lie. They're preparing to go to war, and they've been caught red-handed. So Russia should send, of course, its UN ambassador in Nebesnia to the United Nations to say, be advised, we are now being threatened with war by Germany. We're being threatened by war with France. And make it known to the world that Russia will respond with an absolute defense of its people, its territory, and its infrastructure that could result in not only World War III, but the annihilation of Germany and every German military person and every French and NATO and British and American person that participates in a declaration of war against Russia. This is not something that Russia is going to play with. NATO and France and Germany thinks that they're playing some sort of a puppet theater. They're not. They're playing deadly games. And I think their own people have been betrayed by Germany so many times, first allowing the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, and now preparing to go to war that would annihilate most of the population of Germany. So although Russia doesn't want that, this is the inevitability of what an attack on the Crimean Bridge would result in.
Steve.
I think that's right. I think Scott's got it right. This is unbelievable. Meanwhile, Putin, perhaps in part inspired by this conversation overheard of the German head of their military, warns the West that Russia's nuclear arsenal is on full combat alert. Putin said in a speech on Thursday, Russia's nuclear arsenal is in full combat alert, a warning coming after France's President Emmanuel Macron said the idea of NATO deploying troops to Ukraine has not been ruled out. The strategic nuclear forces are on full combat alert, and the ability to use them is assured, Putin told Russia's Federal Assembly, including both chambers of the Russian parliament. Later, he specifically addressed the talk of NATO sending troops to Ukraine. They are selecting targets to strike on our territory in contemplating the most efficient means of destruction, he said, likely referring to U.S. NATO intel reports for support for Ukraine. But no, I think he's talking specifically about this discussion of taking out the Crimean Bridge. I mean, the insanity of this is beyond belief, just beyond belief. And, you know, I am... shocked. Meanwhile, we have a recent report about the CIA admitting to instigating war with Russia. Get this out. Check this out.
Putin has made it clear in several interviews that he is well aware of how U.S. presidents come and go and U.S. policy never changes.
Общался с одним президентом США и с другим, и с третьим. Президенты приходят и уходят, а политика не меняется. Знаете почему? потому что очень сильна власть бюрократии. Вот человека избрали, он приходит с одними идеями, к нему приходят люди с кейсами, хорошо одетые и в темных, как у меня, костюмах, но только не с красным галстуком, а с черным или с темно-синим, и начинают объяснять, как нужно делать. И все сразу меняется. Понимаете? Это происходит от одной администрации к другой.
Путин is well aware that it is the CIA who directs US policy. And it is the intelligence agencies of NATO countries who have been covertly instigating war with Russia for decades. In the Tucker Carlson interview at the Kremlin, President Putin seemed to be speaking directly to the CIA, twice playfully hinting that Tucker is a representative of the intelligence organization.
With the backing of whom?
With the backing of CIA, of course. The organization you wanted to join back in the day, as I understand. We should thank God they didn't let you in. Although, it is a serious organization. I understand.
Who blew up Nord Stream?
You for sure.
I was busy that day. Nate, do you have I did not blow up Nord Stream. Thank you, though.
У вас, лично, может быть, есть алиби? У вас лично?
You personally may have an alibi, but the CIA has no such alibi.
And the CIA responded to Putin via their New York Times media outlet in the recent article, The Spy War, How the CIA Secretly Helps Ukraine Fight Putin. The article admits that the CIA, operating through three different presidential administrations, has transformed the Ukraine into Washington's most important intelligence partners against the Kremlin. They have secretly trained and equipped Ukrainian intelligence officers over the past decade and constructed a network of 12 secret bases along the Russian border used to launch cross-border attacks on Russian territory. This means the CIA is responsible for the attacks on oil refineries and energy infrastructure. The article describes secret underground command centers established near the Russian border, financed and equipped by the CIA. A CIA program called Operation Goldfish enabled Ukrainians to hack into Russian military networks, break into satellites, and decode secret conversations. 2 years after the 2014 Western-backed coup in Ukraine, the CIA set up training programs for an elite Ukrainian commando force known as Unit 2245. The CIA trained Ukrainian spies who operate inside of Russia, across Europe, and in other places where Russia operates. The article points out that this operation may have been hidden from Trump. While Trump's rhetoric was friendly to Russia, his administration of anti-Russia war hawks, such as Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, kept Western aggression moving forward, which is what Putin has been pointing out for years. Presidents come and go, and the policy never changes. The article says nothing about the several bioweapons labs that the U.S. admitted to having along Russia's border. Some of these labs were seized by the Russian Federation, who say they are preparing to release a report on them, but have so far remained silent. Putin has made it clear that Russia's actions in Ukraine was in response to decades of hostile U.S.-NATO military expansion on Russian borders, and the CIA is now admitting this to be true. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Well, Greg Reese does a great job. I'm delighted John is now with me. John, I've been reporting that Macron has doubled down on his suggestion of sending troops to the Ukraine by NATO, which had been initially repudiated, but now he's reaffirming. We've even got Lloyd Austin saying that if Ukraine loses, NATO will fight Russia. Turns out, and I played, you may or may not have heard, discussion on RT, including by Scott Bennett, of an overheard conversation of the highest-ranking German military. This is a general talking about taking out the Crimean Bridge, which got described as a potential planning for a declaration of war. And then we had Greg Reese, who does wonderful reports, talking about how the CIA has been deeply involved in instigating war with Russia, train Ukrainians, Even while Putin is declaring that Russia's nuclear arsenal is on full combat alert, I think this is insanity, John. Your thoughts? Cannot hear. You may be muted, John.
I said I've been trying to verify the same information from my other sources. And unfortunately, we get lied to in the United States. So just because some general talks is no different than they were talking about Secretary Austin's private medical business when he didn't notify somebody, and they made a whole series of questions and a news media attention for over an hour just talking on those points. They're filling up space, folks. They're lying to us. So anytime they say that the United Nations is going to do something, I haven't seen it on the news, and then I have to go to my sources and say, what have you heard? And nothing's going on in France. So it's like, well, the United Nations has to go into special session, if you don't remember, and National Security Council has to go into session, and they have to discuss these kind of activities before they just outlandishly do things on their own willy-nilly. Now, the United Nations, NATO, has already been flying around Ukraine, scanning the electronics for the past year or two, and I've been reporting on this before in the last 2 years, and in the last year in particular, with my contacts in Europe, with my contacts in France and the Russian Federation and the Ukraine and the war zones. And we're just being lied to constantly. So would you believe if they said the sun came up in the west instead of the east, if they said it and nobody verified it? You know, it's, you can't listen to these people. You can listen to it. And Greg Reese is a very good reporter. I listen to him on occasion when I get the chance. He's got very good information, and I don't think he's been off not even an inch. So, I mean, he's very good with the information. But I'm just so so upset about this stuff, about how they lie to us continually. They think it's okay to lie to us in the United States. They want to take your guns. They want to take your rights. But they need guns and they need weapons and ammunition to the Ukraine that they've given over $1 trillion to. And Vladimir Zelensky still has a $35 million home in Florida somewhere and access to jets and planes and all this stuff. So he's already been sold out, probably has his green card. If not, he's probably got a dual citizenship. So if people don't get this stuff and they need to really wake up to these things, they need to talk to people like me who actually served in the government and knows what the lies are right now specifically. I'm still going back doing research on stuff even before I was in the White House and Secret Service, protecting presidents, heads of state, and things like that. It was so compartmentalized, you have to go back in history to figure out what was going on because they wouldn't tell you certain information, you see. So we're being treated like mushrooms, Jim. You know, kept in the dark and fed shitesen. So
there's a story here about by Larry Johnson in the Gateway Pundit. We're seeing reports like that of Reese. I mean, he's talking about the more general idea of how much the CIA has been involved in instigating war with Russia. He's suggesting it's exaggerated, but I'm kind of troubled by that. I mean, I thought Larry Johnson was a pretty good guy. He's, of course, former CIA. There's always that question, are you ever former when you've been with the CIA?
That's the key phrase. Former. Yeah. There's no such thing as former, a lot of these agencies, especially CIA. And I believe it was, it could have been Podesta or no, Pompeo was talking about when they were former CIA, they went in there with the idea, you know, truth, justice, and the American way. That's my quote. To tell the truth and do the right thing. And as soon as they get into the CIA, they're told to do the extreme opposite, lie, cheat, steal for any purpose for the national security excuse. Okay. And they take that and they beat it up to death and they use it every which way they can for anything, you know. Oh, national security, you know. And then when they do find out stuff, I'm doing research on stuff that's been covered up for years, like Amelia Earhart expedition. She's going around the world And she didn't have spy plane. She didn't have cameras, and she didn't have Morse code on board the plane. That's all lies. And we're being lied to about it because FDR was involved. And then after FDR died, then Truman came into office, and then we ended the war. But we knew the Japanese were encroaching on all the islands before December 7th in 41. We knew it back in 37. So she was allegedly captured. It looks like that's what the deal is. And kept her for about 2 years before they executed her. Admiral Nimitz knew about it. All these famous people, witnesses, they saw the white woman. They saw Noonan, her co-pilot, navigator. So they knew these things were going on. They covered it up. That's what I'm telling you. And we've got other people out there thinking, oh, no, she was whisked away, saved in nick of time, and she lived out the rest of her life at a convent somewhere. Well, I don't think I go with that theory at all. Things happen.
They covered it up because she actually was spying for the United States.
Why would they cover it up if she wasn't?
Yes, I agree.
It's logic. It's so stupid. It's so stupidly logical. But yet the type of plane that she had was set up and built. And I'm investigating and researching Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes is building all kinds of planes and stuff during that time. There's a missing time frame. I even had this book. I got the second edition. This is the first edition of Howard Hughes called Boxes. Let's see if I can get it to show up on the screen a little bit. You can go on eBay and get it for like less than $5. But he supposedly disappeared, faked his death. I'm telling you, folks. If Uncle Adolf from Germany faked his death, and he did, and he lived out the rest of his life in Bariloche, Argentina, then you don't think that these other people are not smart enough to do the same thing? They do. That's what they do. They drop out. They disappear for a while or live out their lives in another name, and all the indicators are right there. See, so we're being lied to about things in the Ukraine. And nobody's talking about the bioweapon labs that they lied about and said, oh, there was like 35. Well, actually, there was like 46. I don't believe that. If there were 35, then there's 46. You better say 75 to 100 to be right, to get accurate. Why are they doing that? Because they're doing bioweapons materials to develop DNA weapons against the white Russians. If they want to wipe out a certain genetic code on this planet, and they get the genetic code, the DNA from it, you can bet that they can develop a weapon to go and kill all of those things off. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be fruit flies or something, you know.
You know, John, I was going to start off by talking about Speaker Johnson having a ferocious meeting with other leaders of the Senate and the White House about how we can't wait to fix the border. I thought that Ukraine had kind of simmered down, but now it looks like it's flaring back up. I mean, we could all be nuclear annihilated over Ukraine. What a waste.
Yeah. The border thing was interesting because when in history have you ever seen a former president goes down to Eagle Pass, which is like 300 miles east, or I'm sorry, west of Brownsville. And I was trying to pull it up on the map, and I go, shoot, I couldn't even zoom in to properly pull up the town listed there. But it doesn't matter. I'm familiar with it. It's a border town. Biden, on the other hand, goes to Brownsville with Mayorkas, the impeached Secretary of DHS in the last couple of weeks. Goes down to Brownsville in a secured area, not necessarily at the border, that type of thing. It makes me think about the Border Patrol people because I was looking at the Border Patrol and the people who are armed and badge-carrying law enforcement officials, federal like I was, and they're with Trump, and they seem to be very friendly, very cohesive, and very connected. And yet when you look at these guys that were down there in Brownsville with Mayorkas and Biden, I looked at them and I just said, nope, they don't look too happy. They look like they're being forced to do it. They grabbed a bunch of guys to go show up. That's it. Either way, you know, it's president, commander in chief. They're going to show up and try to show support. Oh, did you get a call?
call down. Go ahead and call down. I just reached by our guest for today, and she's going to be calling in momentarily. John, I thought you were making excellent points. But, I mean, the border thing is so catastrophic. Here we have another report. Billionaires are selling off stock and building massive survival bunkers. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. What do you want to know? I mean, Billy Gates has a bunker over in North Dakota, right near the border of Canada, and he bought an old underground section to a base that used to be up there, and a lot of these billionaires are doing exactly that. Is ever since Clinton, Obama, at least in those particular areas, and maybe even before, but I don't see it too far back. But eventually they're going to mothball certain type of aircraft carriers. We have one in San Diego. And also they have bases that they will shut down all over the United States. And when they can't use them, they turn it around and flip it and use it for some other purpose. They could still use it for facilities, official, good or bad. But as I said that, I realized that they are using other facilities for bad, not to mention all these alleged underage children that are trafficking. And I tried to reach out to a congresswoman yesterday who I was very impressed with, Beth Van Dyne, D-Y-N-E, who was very animate about making an appearance out of the Capitol. So I reached out to her, as I've done all the other congressmen, congresswomen, congresspersons, et cetera, to get them to support and get me in to testify, because I have specific hard evidence about high-ranking customs officials who are involved in trafficking.
John, hold your breath. We'll be right back with my special guest running for Congress in the 14th District, Marlene Diva. Right.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution
Radio. Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia.
at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, from time to time, we feature political candidates. My dear friend Rolf Lindgren recommended my guest today, Pernima Nath, who's running for Congress in Wisconsin's 4th District on a platform of national security, legal immigration, border security, education, economy, and development. Pernima, it's a real pleasure to have you here. From our preliminary conversation, I'm very impressed with your intelligence and clarity of thought. So give us a bit of overview of why you have chosen to run for Congress.
Thank you. Good morning. I appreciate it, James, for having me, and thanks for Rolf for this wonderful platform as well. I'm a legal immigrant to America. When I came in, I had no clue that this country was going into the same direction that the country I come from. In fact, I come from India, and India was made into a socialist country back in 1976. It was unconstitutionally changed within the constitution. It was secular, made secular, and a socialist democratic country. And it was done with no debate. It was done absolutely horrifically in an emergency. You can imagine something like this can happen in America too, in terms of changing of the constitution, changing things, the cultural work that is happening in America without any conversation with the public. And I have noticed it because I was actually thrown into politics. I had was not in my radar. I had no idea that one day I'll be speaking on these political issues in terms of national security, socialism, border security, terrorism. I've been here in Wisconsin for 23 years. In fact, the first place that I came to in America is Milwaukee, and this is where I got stuck to. And overall, when I see the downfall of the society that I live in, whether it's overtaxation, increment of taxation, right now we are going through massive inflation as well, crime increasing. I started putting the dot. I mean, this is exactly what happened in the country that I lived and I was born into. I grew up. I had no idea in terms of the correlation in terms of socialism, the crimes, the terrorism that we have seen. And we would see one day in this country as well. I'm in this country. I became a citizen legally, not crossing the border. There was no red carpet that was sent for people like me who come here with high-skilled labor type of position. They didn't give us $1,000 phones. They didn't give us free housing, education, or anything like that. So when I see this, the massive millions of people are getting all these welfare benefit, and crimes are increasing, and a direct correlation of lack of educational support, even though it doesn't matter how many referendums are done in terms of increment of fundings to the public school, I just feel that it's probably divine intervention for me to even come to America. There was no plan for me when I was growing up from almost to the underprivileged level that I would one day come to America. And I think it is my duty to tell you and the regular folks who hasn't traveled around the world to see how poverty is linked to politics, how poverty is linked to crime, and how actually there's a design that it imposed by politicians and increases the gap between the poor and the rich. So I think it is the experience that I have brought in, and that's something that I think American people, the regular, hardworking, law-abiding American people must know that there is no coincidence that what we're going through at this point of time. And I actually say that in 5 years, if it is not thwarted right now, in 5 years, things are going to be so radical, so dangerous for American people that you won't know what hit you. And that's why I think it's important for people like me and to speak out, and I do so. And I think this is the right platform for me to communicate to the normal people that what is happening in this country is abnormal, and stop it ASAP right now, immediately, before it becomes a massive problem for us.
I'm already very impressed with your position and your insight and understanding of America. I think having that background of having seen India go through certain of these stages and then coming here and witnessing what's taking place here as well has got to be very disconcerting. My co-host, John Carman, is here with us. Purnima, and I want to invite John to offer a few observations or questions. John.
Could you say her name out loud? Because I couldn't quite get it.
Purnima, P-U-R-N-I-M-A, Purnima Nath.
I was going to say namaste, if that's appropriate.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. And part of India, by the way? Because I've talked to people all over the world. I was just kind of curious because I was doing research up in Nepal for one reason. But
Nepal is on the north side. I'm from northeast side. And it's interesting.
Northeast, okay.
Yes. It's interesting that the part of India that I'm from, it's absolutely chopped off from the mainland India, if you will, from the north and the south of India. And if you actually go from, it is so poor, it had been kept so poor in the last 70, 80 years, development was absolutely to nothing. You wouldn't have a road, you wouldn't have schools properly built. The hospitals are good for nothing. These are mostly government hospitals. So when I connect all these dots, James, it becomes absolutely clear, because you see, in a socialist country, in a socialist place, development is not a focus. And the place that I'm from, and I was born and brought up into, it was actually run by communists. And so the violence that I have seen and witnessed when we were small, when we were little girls, it didn't obviously make any sense at that point of time. But when you grow up and you see things and you start to, you know, put two and two together, you kind of get an idea why there was terrorism, why there was violence, why there was so much of poverty, why there was no schools built, and why the government hospitals were so crappy. If people had saved a little bit of money, they would never go to government hospitals. And that's how they use welfare systems. When you say that, you know, government is going to provide your education, your healthcare, and all the systems is centralized to something, it means only one sect of people, the government employees, the long-term bureaucrats who are going to make the money. The people, they're not going to get anything. They're only going to get the scraps of what they give. And it's a fascinating development that is going to happen in America. And that's why I think I'm very staunch in terms of saying that this is coming. You are not seeing exactly what is going to come. Give it at least 5 years. If the trend continues at this point of time, this is going to be a nightmare for America.
Well, we're going to have to talk off the air. Is the number that shows up a good number for you? Is it in the United States?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'll call you later. But I don't know if Jim told you. I mean, I got the White House behind me on my screenshot thing there. But I was Secret Service. I protected the embassies, heads of state, the ambassadors, and presidents, Ford, Carter. And anytime somebody came from another country, including India, you know, I protected them or they were in the area. But I've got state, local law enforcement as well, and I worked at the border at U.S. Customs. So I'm all familiar with what you were telling me, telling us earlier about how you became immigrated, and that's good. We have a lot to talk about because I try to reach out to congressmen and congresspersons, and nobody's responding because I know what's going on at the border, specifically with hard, hard evidence. And after I tell them one time, nobody calls back. They don't respond because I'm a witness. I've seen it. I know about the corruption. And I was going to bring up the thing about the caste system. I guess the caste system in India, and I was doing research on this guy. I hate to go off country just a little bit, but it was Nepal. Bamjan? Have you ever heard of the guy Bamjan?
Not really.
He was some sort of a Buddhist-like spiritual leader that was fasting for like over 30 days, no food and water, but it's kind of an interesting subject if you get into it. But back to the corruption issues is that I just called people yesterday right after the border visit. These people are showboating. We call it dog and pony show. That's what they do. They go to the border like Chuck Grassley or any of the other people who are high-ranking Congress members or senatorial people, and they pull in people for overtime. They make it look like they've got all this manpower that they don't. And they're always short, and they keep it that way. They always keep it at the minimal level constantly, and now they're reiterating the same thing. We need more people at the border. We need more money. They're wasting money. They're throwing money to the Ukraine. They're throwing money to the Gaza or to Israel. They're throwing money to any other source, and they're feeding their pockets. And it's common knowledge amongst people like myself. A lot of these people, once they get into Congress, not you. I don't know you that well. I don't think you would. But I heard of some other guy. That was Steve Garvey. He was going to serve one term, famous ball player. Once they get in, they get free medical, free insurance for the rest of their lives. I want the same medical and insurance that they do. But all you have to do is serve one term to get it, apparently. But they also get a lot of other programs where they pull money in, lobbyists. And there was a guy named I'm going to mess up his name. He was the one that wrote the book about Pan Am 103. Chasey, William C. Chasey. There you go. He was a lobbyist, and Congress used lobbyists. You have a program, you pay lots of money. If you have millions of dollars, like Howard Hughes used to buy congressmen and senators all the time. Then if you think Nixon got kicked out of the White House because of Watergate, that's a lie. It's because there was money and operations and top secret operations going on behind the scenes that they didn't want to divulge. And Howard Hughes could donate $1 million. Literally, he did to Donald Nixon, the brother to Richard Nixon. So there's a lot of history even I wasn't aware of that I'm digging up. You know, the corruption, the money, hand over hand. You know, that's interesting. If he became naturalized, but you can't go to high office. Are you aware of that law that Obama broke and Harris has broken and a couple of other people? Even Nikki Haley is not qualified to run for president because her parents weren't American at the time of her birth in the United States. That's like the anchor baby law, if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, quite.
Oh, good. Cool. We got a beautiful picture of you. Perfect.
Thank you. Well, you know, James, you mentioned about caste system. I want to point out a few points over here. First of all, caste system, caste, the word caste is a Portuguese word called casta. And there was no caste system in India. When Portuguese came, when British came, they had to figure out how to divide the people of India in order to rule them. So they manufactured. This is not made up. You can look up. There's a video of me. I have interviewed several folks in YouTube. There's a video of me. I've written on this subject several times. So if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me. So what I'm going to tell you, you might, or normal people of America doesn't know, and they only hear certain things that the Washington Post or New York Times may have written. So caste system, which was imposed on Hindus of India, was not a native division. It was created, manufactured out of thin air and divided the people. After 1947, independence of India, Hindus should have thrown this out in the drain and restarted the constitution completely clean. What happened in 1947 was not an independence for India. It was a transfer of power to the socialist goons of India. That's exactly why India never reached to the pinnacle of success until now. Or
that was right around Gandhi. That was right around Gandhi's time, right?
Yes, so Gandhi was part of it. The division happened, the separation of India and Pakistan was created. And at that point of time, the reason for division of India and Pakistan in 1947 is because Muslims didn't want to live with the Hindus and they voted to create a separate nation, which is why the Pakistan Sharia land was created. And at the same time, India was supposed to be Hindu country, but it was not. It was made into a secular and later on in 1976 as a socialist country. So what happened over the years is the socialist powerful elite goons have wanted to keep the powers with them, and that's why they implemented and kept the caste system going. Even today, people like us have no interest in caste system. We don't want it because it is absolutely divisive and it creates pockets of quotas, exactly like what is happening in America. When you talk about DEI scam, this is a caste system of America. When you say you want to elect or place somebody to a position based on their skin color and their ethnicity, it is a caste system. And that's exactly what I say, that DEI is a scam in America. It is the caste system of America. The vice president of America was selected not because of the competency or capability. She was selected because of her skin color. She goes by black, and half of her, 50% of her ethnicity has been completely kept under the table because she doesn't want to talk about it. It doesn't have any currency at this point of time, because as a Hindu or as a Indian ethnic person, she won't get the the currency for her to become the vice president. So that's why she goes by black. That's it. 50% of her Indian nationality is gone. So the point I'm trying to tell you here is that a caste system of India was never there. It was actually Varna system. And Varna system is by quality. And Varna system is also based on occupation. For instance, I'll give you, if your father was a doctor, Can you guarantee your sub-siblings, all of your siblings are going to be doctors and they're not going to be engineers, they're not going to be lawyers or something? So it's based on your proficiency and quality and also your occupation, not based on your birth. So what British had done at that point of time, when they came in and they wanted to figure out, they had to break the Indian system, they had to break the Hindu system, and the Brahmins were the ones who were not converting into Christianity, and that's when they came up with this idea to break, and they came up with this four Varna system into converting into caste system, and today we're still suffering because of their imposition. At the time British left Indian territory, they still had over 2,000 to 3,000 caste. So how can you break a country and make 2,000 to 3,000 castes, the so-called jatis, and box them into four categories and say the Brahmins are oppressors? That's exactly what's happening in America today, James. When you call whites are supremacists and they are the oppressors, and everybody else, for me, I have to sing the tune of the leftist wokes, that I'm oppressed somehow in this country. There is racism in every country. I see the racism here too. But that is not something that we are taught in terms of crying victims and not do anything about it and not progress in our life and then completely say that America is racist. Which country has not been racist in the entire world? Every country has been. So labeling America as a racist country and electing or selecting somebody because of their skin color and race and ethnicity is exactly what the caste system has done to Indian people. Like, people like us. If everything was hunky-dory, India was doing well, and caste system was not there, why would I come to America? Why did I even choose to come to America? Because America was good. America was doing well at that point of time. And I was one of the naive people. We didn't know history. We were not taught history. Just like CRT is being taught in this country about oppression, about white supremacy, about the blacks didn't get anything and blacks created this country. I'm sorry. I have to ask you this question. If that is the case, then why didn't they build Africa?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to look at logically in terms of what is really going on.
It's blacks a race card. They always use it as a race card.
It's a victim card. In India, they play a caste victim card. In America, they're playing race victim card. And this is tiring. This is tiring. It's creating divisions. When I look at somebody, I don't look at their skin color at all, because the other day, we were taking a picture. In fact, it was a picture with Representative or Senator Julian Bradley and one of the Turning Point's head, I believe Dane County's chairman, Brandon Melly. Three of us were taking pictures. We did that. I had no clue in my head at that point of time that three of us are completely three different races. And in fact, Brandon said that. Look at that diversity in one picture. And I looked at, one black, one Indian, and, Hindu, and one white guy. So when I look at something like that, it never automatically comes to my mind that I'm looking at it from a skin color perspective.
Can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
A lot of Americans aren't familiar with the Indian history or the influence. I do a lot of studies anyway. I want to use the proper terms, and people use terms all the time, Hindu-Pakistani. So I go, okay, that's to identify their potential from where they're basically at. If they were Nepalese, I'd say Nepalese. If they were Sikh, how many Americans know what a Sikh is? And I've had people say, this one guy would say, it's a turban, it's a dot, or it's a terrorist, or something. No, there are Muslims, there are Sikhs. There are Hindu Pakistanis. There are all kinds of people, and I studied Sanskrit and all the ancient type of backgrounds and so forth. In fact, I get my ivermectin from India. I had to throw that up there. Get your ivermectin. I would throw that on the show when I was on some other shows, too. I know some people that are American that live in India, and things aren't as good, but things aren't as good here either. Any contribution you can make would be really great. But can you show any kind of similarity or connection between the Hindu-Pakistani? Because I know there's some sort of a negative thing about the Pakis is a negative term for people in Pakistan, because it's technically they're sort of separate. And I've seen the border guards. I know that they fire off their cannons once in a while. It's kind of like a thing. But Hindu-Pakistani is a term. And then, of course, you got Sikhs and Sikhism. Do you even get into that or connect? And I worked at a guy at U.S. Customs. His name was Gurdet Dillon. His middle name was Singh, S-A-I-N-G-H. So I've got some background with a lot of exposure with people across the border and at the border, too, by the way. But did I ask you the right question?
Yeah, I don't have any issues. I speak on religion all the time. Especially on the terrorism aspect. You see, India was, as I said, India was supposed to be Hindu country back in 1947, and it was our bad luck that it didn't happen as the way it was supposed to happen. The reason people like us who run away from socialism, crimes, and the corruption is because we didn't want that. And if the socialism aspect of the terrorism aspect of the crimes, corruption didn't happen in India, people like us wouldn't be here. You know, we don't come here to take over the country. We don't come here to convert anybody in this country either. We don't go around and say that religion, your religion is false and my religion is better. You better convert, otherwise you're going to burn in hell. We don't do this kind of stuff. We just go around and, you know, pay attention to our job, our families, and that's it. And we don't get into any kind of controversial situation at all. You'll find people like us, me, in this case, very rare, because we don't actually raise our head and say exactly what's wrong in our society. Now, going back to the religion, in India has, you know, per the 2011 census, they say there is 79% Hindus. I think that number is wrong. Why? Because there is 22%. They say 14% Muslim. I think that's 22%. And they say 2% Christians. That's not true. It's 10% Christians. And then you have the rest of it, Buddhists, Jains, and etc. When they talk about India, they talk about minorities, and the only minorities they talk about is Muslim. And they forget about the historical instances why India was even created in 1947, why Pakistan was created in 1947. The whole idea between the separation was because they didn't want to live with the Hindus. If that was the case, then why did they choose to live in Indian territory after Pakistan was created? Either there shouldn't be any Pakistan at all, or if the Pakistan was created, there should have been clean slate of exchange of population, which didn't work. Only what happened after almost 80 years now of partition, 27% of Hindus in Pakistan.
Purnima, stand by. We'll return with our fascinating conversation with Purnima Nath, who's a candidate for Congress, Wisconsin 4th District, right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm really appreciative to my dear friend Rolf Lindgren for recommending my guest today, Brittany Manath, who's running for the 4th Congressional District right here in Wisconsin. She and John Carman are having a fascinating conversation. John, would you like to pick it up here?
Sure. Yeah, I was listening. I have to pull up a map of India while I'm talking because I'm going, well, I want to be able to at least look at something else because I do a lot of research. And but we need good people here from other countries. And I noticed recently the president of India was visiting, went to the White House. That's very important. Anytime a world leader and a nuclear country of any kind, it's very indicative of how we may be getting together on things. And that's good. I look at India from historical points of view, and I go back in history and look at that stuff as well, because that's what I'm into is history. But, there we go. I got a really nice picture. All the way to the eastern side, which would be Bangladesh up to Nepal, Bhutan off to the right, and other countries. And India is quite a history. In fact, since I studied Buddhism and martial arts, Dalai Lama lives up there in the northern section. And it's been right across the border because he came across the border from Tibet when he was kicked out. Dharamsala, I had to finally spit it out. It took me like 10 seconds to spit it out. Dharamsala. But I think Purnima's got a lot to offer here. And I see that.
And so do I. I've often, commented how Mexico has two requirements for immigration. There may be more, but these two are of special interest. The first, in order to migrate to Mexico, you must be able to show you have something to contribute to the good of Mexico, plumber, carpenter, lawyer, doctor. Second, you must have the financial resources to support yourself and your family members so you not become a burden on the state.
Exactly.
For the United States, if we simply implement those two policies, we'd eliminate 95% to 98% of our immigration problem. But, of course, Biden's gone whole hog. I want Purnima to further address the border crisis because it's so staggering. But, I mean, here's an obvious example of someone who has a great deal to contribute to the good of America. I mean, Purnima, if I were in your district, you would have my vote.
Thank you. I appreciate that. See, I think you mentioned about Dalai Lama, right? James, Dalai Lama was took refuge in India in 1959. So if at all India was, if at all India was actually anti different religion or Hindus were not protecting other religions, you wouldn't have seen 22% of growth of Muslims or 10% of Christians or the Tibetan Buddhist taking refugees. Or we even have Parsis who took refuge in India. We had Jews who took refuge in India. Now these Jews are going back to Israel to fight for their land. So the mainstream communication and narrative against Hindus in India, as well as in America and Western countries, have been quite demeaning. And I think this is a perfect time to bring it out, because you talked about Hindu Pakistani. Hindu population in Pakistan at the time of 1947 separation was almost 30%, and today in West Pakistan, which is by the Afghanistan side, is 1.5%. And in Bangladesh, which is East Pakistan, in 1947 became Bangladesh separate country from Pakistan, the Hindu population is 7.9%. I'm sorry to say that to you, that when the West actually says the Hindus are Hindu nationalists, Hindus are racist, Hindus are casteist, Hindus are, you know, savages and stuff like that, I have to see proof. If we are the one who's oppressors, we are the one who's causing oppression to other people, why aren't we causing oppression when we come to other countries like America, UK, Australia, you know, you name it, we are everywhere. Our population is 1 to 2% in every Western countries. And if you add those global Hindu diaspora, it's only 3%, because 95% global Hindus are in India and 2% is in Nepal, and rest is segregated in different countries. How come we are not oppressing you guys? How come we are not oppressing every American people and telling you that you are the oppressors and we are the good people and we want to bring civilization here? So there is a lot of propaganda narratives happening against Hindus, global Hindus in general speaking. So when you talk about the humanity, when you talk about actually peacefulness, when you talk about nonviolence, these are inbuilt in our religion. We don't go oppress anybody. We don't go tell anybody what to do or what needs to be done. We don't go and terrorize anybody. How many terror organizations are there that is built by Hindus and worldwide? I can give you 200 Islamic terror organizations globally, from a war perspective, from a land acquisition perspective. And we didn't talk about the wars in Afghanistan and Ukraine and all sorts of things that's happening, and possibly China, Taiwan, that is going to happen, in all these things that's coming up right now. But sadly, I see this, the agenda against Hindus are absolutely crazy. And Hindu Pakistanis have nothing to do with it. They're getting raped, picked up and converted every single day in Pakistan. They're crying for help. Pakistani government doesn't help. And these guys are, do you know the statistics of Pakistan? 3 non-Muslim girls, young girls, are picked up every single day. That is 1,000 a month. They are getting picked up, abducted, raped, converted, nikahified, and it's okay by Pakistani government. That's why the Hindu population is only 1.5%, and they're going to clean us off right there, from there. They cleaned us off in Afghanistan. They're going to clean us off in Bangladesh. And they're also doing the same tactics in India too. So when we talk about humanity, we should look at from a perspective of what the ideology is. Today, everywhere you go, whether it's Europe, America, India, XYZ, there is a cultural war that is happening. In America, if you talk about the CRTs, the critical race theories, it's exactly parallel to critical caste theories. Same thing that is happening in from the geopolitical terrorism perspective, same thing that is happening in terms of economy. The inflation is not by chance, it is by design. Because if you have inflation like that, we are going to be so, it's going to be difficult for any family to run a proper household. We're going to be pushed to depend on the welfare system. And then what happens? Then basically you are expanding the government. You are going to have a bigger government. The government bureaucrats are going to make the money. And that's how the division within the city, within the country, that happens.
Can I ask a question? I'm always up on the border issues, and the latest intel, and I ran across some Guatemalans yesterday at a Chinese restaurant that I didn't buy anything. I went in and went out, but I did talk to these guys. They're shorter than Mexicans, by the way, folks. Mexicans are a certain height, medium to tall, and Guatemalans are a little bit average, shorter height. So I was talking to these guys. They spoke English. I spoke Spanish with them, too. And they are like a lot of the other people that were coming in from other countries, from China, some Middle Eastern countries. We do get people from the Ukraine, but they refuse the Russians. They do get people from other South American countries under these programs where they get $5,000 from a Soros card, allegedly, on a debit card, and then they get free rent. And then I just heard 2 days ago from a source that it was only good for maybe 6 months. Well, I would like to get free rent for 6 months, and I don't get retirement or Social Security at age 70, and I serve this country, not to throw my little personal thing in there, but people have to realize when you're a whistleblower, they cut you off retirement, they cut you off Social Security, they're waiting for me to die, and I've had death threats. See, that's me asking for help out in the open every time I get a chance to do this. But the information from an Uber driver was taking a guy across the border, and he couldn't speak English, so he had to pull up his cell phone. I have a flip phone. I don't use a smartphone. To speak Chinese to the Chinese translator to tell the driver, who's a Hispanic American guy, where he needed to go. And then, of course, they would do the charge on the phone. So we've got all these people coming in, and they're not checked like we talked about earlier. You have to establish your solvency is the key word we use at the border. So if you lived in America, that's one thing. You go into Mexico. If you're coming from Mexico to the United States, same basic thing. Can you support yourself? Do you have a house in Mexico if you're a Mexican resident? And do you have solvency, and do you have a place to go back to, as opposed to people just coming across the border to visit on a B1, B2 visa and then stay here as an overstay? And they're violating all of that right now. Biden is in violation of those laws, 8 U.S.C. 1324. Mayorkas was impeached 2 weeks ago. Why hasn't he been arrested? And these are actual charges in the federal codes. And all these people in Congress and the Senate are just talking people in circles. They're not doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. They need 30,000. No, they need like up to 300,000 employees at the border, north and south, to cover the border. Three shifts, 1,000 to 3,000 across the border. I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant like 9 to 10,000 is what I meant to say. So you got the southern border, you got the northern border of the United States. They need 3,000 people at the southern border, Border Patrol, DHS, ICE, Customs Border Protection, and the same amount at the northern border and backup people. You're looking at 6,000 to 9,000 people. Rounded off, 10,000, attrition, whatever. But we're not getting the proper support. So if we get somebody who's in Congress to do these things and they realize what's going on, I would be the first person as an expert, because I worked there for 15 years and I know all the angles and the lies and how people are smuggled, as opposed to political people that go to the border and say, yeah, we're at the border. Wow, that's impressive. Now what do you know? They don't know anything about the border. They just see a line, a gate or a post, a mile marker or a metal fence of some sort. You see what I mean? So I may have gone off on a little tangent. My website's called customscorruption.com, by the way. You can check up page two. We'll talk off the air, I'm sure. I will talk to you, hopefully.
No, you see, I think what is happening to America today is a straightforward invasion. You don't bring a military, these guys are young men crossing the border. I don't know what America's goal is. I mean, these guys are really a military-level folks who's coming over here without any checks and balances. And you don't know which backyard they are being placed, and somewhere or other, you know, some affordable housings are being built, and for immigrations, the luxury hotels are being given. I think this is a nightmare for the taxpayers.
Well, they're kicking out veterans out of hotels to replace them with these aliens from other countries. And by the way, I would have my water delivered on a food stamp card because I'm on food stamps and I can't even get welfare. But a Haitian will deliver it. He lived in Mexico for 2 years. A lot of them do. They speak Spanish. These are people from Haiti. And then when they come across, they get on the program. They get free rent, the $5,000 a month. They may get a job like this one guy delivering water, bottled water, and I would talk to him and have to tell him directions on how to get to the building, you know, how to get to the other side, otro lado, norte, izquierda, you know, go left, and all this other stuff in Spanish. And as soon as I get to talk to him, I ask him, where are you from? Or de donde viene in Mexico or Hispanic language. He says, from Haiti. Oh, Papa Doc Duvalier, so I connect with him in some way. Same difference. So we got, and I've evaluated them. Some of them are pretty good. They act nice. I had one Muslim guy. He was a little questionable. I had a Hispanic girl. She was okay. She was local. But as you say, you don't know if you're getting criminals. They are. They're getting Middle Eastern people on the terrorist watch list. They are. And they had a Venezuelan that came into the country and raped and murdered a child. So Congress is jumping all over that. But what Congress doesn't say are all the incursions that have happened over the years that I'm aware of. And as soon as I bring it up, they're quiet. They go silent on me. Nobody calls, you know, and I got my phone on 24/7. So I don't know. I just want to point that out just in case. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
If they say there is 10 million, Biden has let in 10 million people, illegal immigrants, living off of taxpayers' money, it's not the politicians' money, I can guarantee you the number is not 10. It's 30 to 40 million. It's based on my experience, I'm saying that if they have said that's 10, you just quadruple it. So what it means is that your school system is going to be flooded. Your healthcare is going to be flooded. Your roads are going to be filled with crimes. And we just don't have the right way of controlling this mess. Now, America doesn't, it's not short of money. America can print the money whenever it wants. I mean, today our budget is about $900 billion. Defense budget, which is if you add first 10 countries defense budget, China, Russia, India, Saudi, UK, France, you will not come to 50% of America's defense budget. So we are not short of money. The problem is the politicians. The problem is the right politicians who are not really focusing on filling their pockets, but for public service. So that's always the case in socialism. That's always the case in Marxism. That's always the case in wherever the ideology supports them, that a elite group of people are going to hold on to power and the rest of them are going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. That's what people don't get. They don't see it. I've been monitoring the government since I was a child because I was raised on military bases, transferred every 3 years. Born on a top secret military base and so forth, which is kind of an interesting profile. And when I went into Secret Service at the age of 21, I was very disciplined. I had a martial arts background, so being disciplined and observant is a big deal. And people from other countries have different cultures, and once they come here, they become more Americanized, which is good, which is part of the melting pot idea. You know, once they come in, they should adapt the ideas and share our cultures together and become even better, because that would be a perfect society. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people taking advantage of it too. Like you said, Congress and Senate. I haven't seen any of these people perfectly respond over the years, and a lot of them, especially the Democrats, are a waste of time. Totally. I mean, I think they should remove all those people out. They should have term limits and get on with having people that are actually pulling people like me in as a witness to testify as to what's going on. But I see the cover-ups all the time. The January 6th incidents, why people are still in prison or jail over in D.C., it's constant. And yet they've got people like Hunter Biden being reviewed for all the crimes he's committed, and they're lying about all the stuff about Burisma. They're lying about documents that Biden had and he didn't, it wasn't supposed to have. Trump has immunity because he was commander-in-chief. There's all kinds of things that people just aren't educated about when they go to school in the United States. So it's almost like they purposely dumb people down when you go to school. And after that, you have to keep going on. You have to go to college. You have to learn more and more. And then you have to get a good job and you have to support yourself. But in my situation, as an example, if you have more than $2,000 anywhere, then you have too much money, they will cut you off. You can't have welfare. You can't have Social Security. That's a lie. I'm disabled. Foreigners are coming to this country from other countries, and they didn't contribute to the Social Security system. They're not even American, or they're immigrants or not, and yet they get disability. Well, I'm paying into the system, and then they steal it. Everybody I've talked to say they've stolen the money, and now they're trying to extend the dates. It's a legal way or an illegal way that they're stealing. So every person that pays taxes is not a taxpayer. They're a tax slave. That's just my little translation there. But do you have any opinions about these people coming in and getting Social Security where others contributed their lives and served the country like myself? And I'm not getting anything, you know, literally. I get donations from people. And I'm almost running out. I'm going to be homeless.
Social Security builds up, of course, during a lifetime of employment. You contribute Social Security taxes. They haven't worked a day in the United States. How can they be entitled to Social Security?
Well, that's a good point.
It's simply absurd, John. It's simply absurd.
Well, and the point is, since I was a whistleblower and reported corruption through the internal systems, the internal affairs, the Office of the Inspector General, all through the systems that you're supposed to do, I stuck out the time as opposed to Ed Snowden, where he left the country right away, which is probably his situation a little bit differently. But they literally removed out of a database 15 years out of customs claiming that I didn't pay into the system. And I never authorized them to take it out or remove it. I'm not a powerful person. I can't just tell somebody, hey, don't take out my taxes. They keep taxing me. So it's a constant battle with the government lying to you. And even when I go through a hearing, in the last 10 years, they owed me $910 a month. That's over $209,000 for the last 10 years, increasing. And yet all they do is give a hearing where they claim an administrative law judge. You got to hear this. Administrative law judge says, we'll give you a decision in 2 weeks, last June, last year, 2023. They haven't done it. So I would contact them within 90 days, just to give it a time frame, contact my congressman in San Diego County, Daryl Issa. I'm not afraid to say his name because they go to the border, but they don't contact me and talk to me because I tell them stuff. It's a one-way conversation. So in the meantime, all they do is reschedule for another hearing and waste my time and spin my wheels waiting for me to die. I've had death threats. I've got some health issues, but I'm basically healthy. I've had 7 stents in my heart, diabetic, and all these other things. But they don't care. So they're stealing the money. Nobody's backing me up, and I can't get somebody in Congress to step up and do something about it. They're not enforcing the laws. They keep saying they need to have more laws to enforce the laws at the border. That's a lie. They've got border laws. 8 U.S.C. 1324, smuggling, bribery, 18 U.S.C. 201. First day of the class in FLETC down in Georgia when you go to federal law enforcement training, that's one of the first things they teach you. And then you learn all the other ones. What the American public doesn't know is 18 U.S.C. 2381. That's high treason. They don't want you to talk about high treason because that's what these people are committing. The president, the vice president, Speaker of the House, maybe, and maybe congressmen and senators are committing high treason when they lie, cheat, and steal, and then they claim they took the they took the COVID shot when they did. You know, it's all a big scam, especially when the people have investments in the J&J and Moderna and AstraZeneca people who are doing the shots.
You know, Pernima, what she thinks about the COVID shot and the mandates and all this stuff. Pernima, were you as floored as I at what happened here? Your thoughts?
I think, you know, any kind of imposition, any kind of forced imposition is something that I've always had a problem with. I am a data person. I look into, I research, I try to understand exactly what is happening and what is good and what is bad. I think, if you will, average person has the ability to understand and decipher between good and bad. And when government comes and says that average persons are stupid, they can't think for themselves, they can't, they can't provide for themselves, they can't make decisions for themselves, that's the outright vilification of normal citizens who are actually paying taxes. So it's just not COVID, if you will. Any kind of forced implementation and imposition, I have a massive reservation on. Now, from a COVID perspective, if you look at from a vaccination and the life cycle of a vaccination, it takes average 10 years to perfectize a vaccine. And I'm not anti-vaccine, if you will. I mean, when you are in America, American people are most vaccinized, actually. If you go from America to India, let's say, before you go, they'll give you vaccine, to make sure that, you know, you don't bring back and whatever, whatnot. So I'm as much as vaccinized as anybody else. But then what happened in COVID was quite interesting for me because there was no research, there was no clinical trials, there was no animal trials, and we didn't know or we were not given any data in terms of what was going on. You need average 10 years to build a vaccine to its efficacy. From the get-go...
Pernima, yes. Take a deep breath, and when we return, we're going to open the lines for callers, too, but I'm really enjoying having you here today. I'm so glad. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia.
at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're having a wide-ranging conversation today with Pernima Nath, who's running for the 4th congressional seat here in Wisconsin. John Garman and she have been having a lively exchange. The number is for calling it 608-957-8727. There are three sevens there, 608-957-8727. If you'd like to speak to Pernima or John or me, you're welcome to do so. Pernima, I'm really, really enjoying what you're doing here. Who are you up against in the 4th Congressional District?
Well, Congresswoman Gwen Moore is our congresswoman for 18 years, running into 20.
Go ahead. Did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Yeah, Congresswoman Gwen Moore. She's a Democrat, I presume.
That is correct.
What are the most important issues on which you disagree? I think it's probably highly extensive. I mean, you mentioned you're on national security, legal, immigration, border security, education, economy, and development. I imagine you disagree on every one of those issues.
I would think so. I've been trying my best in terms of trying to understand any or actually looking at policies in terms of where we can work together. I think some of those issues are non-political. There shouldn't be any divide between left and right at all. But sadly speaking, that's where we are in terms of political landscape. There seem to be no alignment of the left and right. There is no centrist position. Now, I come from Hindu background. My Hindu background is very, very centrist, actually. We are righteousness driven. We are nonviolent. We are not worried about poking in anybody's business. We don't, you know, that's how Hindus are. You won't find many Hindus in political arena. If they are, they're actually on the Democrat side, and they actually equally hate Hindus too, because they are not Hindus at all. They have changed into Islamo-Marxism type of ideology. So sadly speaking, many of the issues that we talk about, whether it's a border security, whether it's a national security, whether it's a terrorism, whether it's education, economy, immigration, war, these are non-political issues from a normal centrist person perspective. But if you look at any of this, I don't think there is any commonality at all, because I come from the perspective of today you have 200 nations, right? If you don't want national security, then abolish every 200 countries. Can you do that? Can you abolish 57 Islamic countries? Can you abolish the 10 Buddhist countries? Do you think you want to abolish one Jew country in the world that is there? Do you want to abolish one, it's not a Hindu country, Hindu majority country, was trying to survive and make sure the Hindus are not dead tomorrow. So when we talk about, when we look at this hypocrisy, and I don't find any commonality between the Democrats and the left, which is far left at this point of time, versus the right side of the aisle. So I'd love to work with any of them and have a conversation, have an opportunity to discuss. Can you please tell me what drives your ideology? What drives your policy? But I don't think that's where we are as a society at this point of time. They have done fabulous and fantastic job to divide us. We look at issues, seemingly unimportant, stupid issues. They're keeping us busy in that. So the country falls. That's the whole idea. If you think, you know, why at this point of time, why, you know, back in 2014, 2020, 2023, why did India have 70% poverty level? It's because they wanted to make it like that. They wanted to keep us poor. If we are not poor, how can they rule? And that's exactly what they want in America too. Because if it is not divided, if there are no crimes, if there are people are doing well, how can they rule? How can they fill their pockets? How can they build their mansions? You talk about Maxine Waters. You talk about, Eric Swalwell. You talk about any Democrat politician today. Can you actually look at them and say they are doing the right thing from a policy standpoint? I can't find it. I agree,
Pranima. But we have a caller from the 408 area code, unless I miss my mark. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, as one of the two listeners that you have, I figured I'd call in. I think what she just recently said is sort of naive and doesn't understand what's really happening here. Now, you know, of course, I'll make the opening statement that we went an hour and a half in the show, and the only time we heard the word Jew or Jews was when she referred to the fact that supposedly some Jews took refuge in India for some reason. That's the only time that it came up, and we all know what the agenda is here. You know, what you just said recently about the fact that if they don't, you know, make us poor, keep us poor, do all these different things, how can they rule? No. That's, they obviously, they can and do rule in any country, no matter what the economic status of the majority of the inhabitants. Okay, they have mechanisms in place. Right. The whole system here is designed to do exactly what it's doing. Right. That's the, what I would call the delusion of most people that still believe in politics, you know, that think that they can run for office and that somehow within the system that exists to somehow make change, which, of course, is just Jim really does know that's a dream. Yeah. But go ahead. What?
Let me interject. Pranima, Paul's a regular caller. He's very concerned about the fact that, you know, our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory. I think in terms of foreign policy today, Benjamin Netanyahu is basically our commander-in-chief. And in terms of domestic policy, George Soros seems to be out to destroy the country. He, I think, is asking whether you would agree about these aspects of the situation we're in. And let me, by extension, add, we haven't directly talked about the situation in Israel and the genocide of the Palestinians. Any of those issues you'd feel comfortable addressing, please do.
Yeah, well, I wasn't asking her
to agree. Paul, yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything. I didn't ask anything.
Pranima, I did. Pranima.
I know.
Okay. All right. See, the way I look at it is the land of Israel, which is where Judaism took birth in, and the people used to be called as Jews, and they were thrown out and by various entities. And even though they were dispersed, they didn't lose the connection to their land. They always promise themselves that they're going to be back. At the same way that they are now back, and they didn't they didn't come and invade and take it over. If you look at the map, and sometime most of the Palestinians, so-called, these guys share a very misleading map of how Israelis have taken over. It was not the case. From the day one of 1948, they were the Muslims and the Muslim countries have attacked the Jews who were given the portion of Israel at that point of time. Every single time there were periodic attacks against the Jews and Israelis since 1947. And they wanted to take, the Palestinians and the Muslims wanted to take over again, just like any other Middle Eastern countries. But then what happened, every time they attacked, they actually lost, and they lost territories as well. And that's how this is how the Israel map looks like today. So when so-called Palestinians come today and says they're getting genocided, I have to disagree with them vehemently that you shouldn't have provoked them. You shouldn't have provoked them on the October 7th as well. But I understand the Jews' position in this, because we Hindus were persecuted as well. You know, 6 million Jews were killed by Hitler in Holocaust. Every single Jew knows about it, and every single person in this entire world knows about the Jew Holocaust history. But do you know that Hindus were killed 30%, almost 30% more than Jews were killed? Between 1880 to 1920, British killed 165 million Hindus, Indians. Does anybody know? No. You don't know. I can't expect you to know, because we Hindus haven't done well in terms of communicating that to you. So you don't know that. So when it comes, and somebody like Paul, who comes with a compassion, which I call is a misplaced compassion of the Muslims, they come and cry victims. I say, please don't do that. Not in front of me, not in front of the world, because you don't deserve.
Paul. Hey, Jim. Hey, go ahead. I know what you're thinking. I know you're shaking your head the same as I am. And this is the problem, is we have this person, God bless her, okay, but she's just naive and uneducated beyond belief. We don't have time. We would need the next 4 to 6 hours to go into the whole history of Britain, Britain, the East India Company, all Jewish, the truth about the Holocaust, it's just unbelievable. I mean, look, we both know, you and I, and probably John Carman knows as well, that at this point, okay, it's over. There's no political fix to this, okay? They're deliberately designing chaos and civil war, and it's going to happen. It needs to happen. Just so you know, Pradeepa, no offense, I'm a good guy. I'm a humanitarian in general, but I'm also a Nazi white supremacist, okay? You are talking to an actual white supremacist Nazi. Have no doubt about it. But we're people just like you. We want our own land, okay? If it was me running things right now, Pradeepa, if I was dictator, you would be deported along with millions upon millions of others, okay, that are foreigners, that are not American. You would never be allowed to hold office, much less run for office. I don't know if you're born here, but just think about the fact that if you weren't born here and you're not American, how on earth could you run for office and hold office? That was the problem that people had with Obama, okay? We could go on and on in this direction. The bottom line is this. There is no way, shape, or form that you'll be elected. And if you were, you will make no difference, because the system is designed deliberately to disempower us. I'm going to be done with this rant in one minute, 60 seconds or less, and then you guys can talk all you want, all right? But one of the points that I was going to make earlier was from a book that I read quite a long time ago, probably back in the 90s, called America, What Went Wrong, all right? And the book was put together by two former Philadelphia Inquirer reporters, okay? It was a compilation of essentially their research and articles. And one of the things in this book that they covered, just one topic, was the income tax and how they uncovered the fact, they unveiled the fact that the income tax was nothing more than a wealth transfer system from the middle class, poor, and working class to the rich. And the reason this occurs is because the very, very rich were able to buy bonds. Most working class people can't buy stocks or bonds. As a rule, they don't have the income. So the ultra, ultra rich buy the U.S. bonds, treasury bonds, and so on, and they're making an income interest from that. And the U.S. government collects taxes and turns it over and pays these bondholders and the interest on the bond. So how could such a mechanism exist? Who would design such a system to do that? Okay, the system is designed on many levels, not just one example, but across the board, the system is deliberately designed to do what it does, just like the whole immigration crisis. Okay, it's designed to do what it does, and it's doing it now. And we're not in control, and all these NGOs that are helping the immigrants are breaking the law, but yet they're not prosecuted because this is all built in, and no vote of a congressman or no vote of a senator is going to change it. There's going to be, unfortunately, before this is over, there's going to be dead bodies, and I believe that there needs to be. And that's it. Sorry.
Paul, thanks for so clearly delineating your point of view. Pranima, personally, I'm glad you're running. I'd like to see you succeed because you'd be a hell of a lot better than the Democrat occupying the office now. John, give us your thoughts.
Well, that was quite a revelation. I did not know that. I'll have to talk to that gentleman later because I did try to call before. But I'm not going to be any kind of a negative negativity on this thing. If Pernima can get in and make the changes, that's what we need. I wish I could run for office, but you don't see anybody out there throwing millions of dollars my way. And it's just the way the system goes. I mean, I know history too. I study history. I'm a student of history, and I look at these things. The first founding fathers were not born Americans. They came from another country. So based on that alone, you have to look at all these things that happen over a period of time. And we are the greatest country so far, but there's all these problems. And the caller, is that Paul?
But John, you just said something. You said, "If I hope she gets in, I hope she can make the changes." What are you referring to?
I'm referring to anybody who can get in there now and get rid of these other old people and make changes that they're not doing now. But at the same time, hold on. Mm-hmm. The people that are in office now need to be charged with high treason because they're not doing their jobs. 18 U.S.C. 2381.
That's why they're there.
I we'll have to talk about that. I get what you're saying. We'll have to talk.
Okay, well, Jim's done the research. He knows that it's not the real Joe Biden, and that Joe Biden, if he was real, no way defeated Donald Trump. And yet here we are. We're presented with the reality. We're talking about them. We're talking about the Democrats. We're talking about Joe Biden. But it's not real. I mean, it's literally a cardboard cutout.
You think they're all holograms?
Yeah. No.
You think they're genetic clones?
No. But listen, look, here's the thing. Here's what you're not getting. Understand it clearly. They might as well be scarecrows, okay? Because the system exists with or without them. It doesn't matter who they are.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
You know, Paul, let me just say, Paul, on your behalf, Vladimir Putin said this to the Russian Federation Assembly. He said, presidents come and go, but the American policies remain the same. It doesn't make any difference.
Nothing's
totally consistent with the points you've been making. I mean, I wish it were different, God knows. No, John, he meant that literally the guy they're calling Biden isn't the real Joe Biden, who appears to have died in 2017. I've done a huge amount of research.
Well, I know. I've looked at the eyes, ears, and nose, specifically the ears, because normally they don't change. Well,
different shape and size of skull.
And I am an identification specialist.
Different social interaction with Jill. Yeah.
That's a minor thing there. Actual changes. And if Pernima can do it, I'm behind.
You know, it's naive beyond belief. That's like, it's the same as saying that a cardboard cutout can do it. Okay, Pernima can't do anything, and neither could you, and neither could Fetzer, because the system is already constructed.
Well, I doubt that. You put me in office, and I'll do it at the top. Don't put me at a Congress or Senate level.
Yeah, I know.
I'll handle it, and it will get handled.
Yeah, I know.
Uncle Adolf couldn't have done it any better.
I do a podcast on another network, and we joke all the time about my imaginary presidency, my imaginary.
There you go.
But you haven't invited.
But look, here's
Let's be respectful to Pernima here. She's running for Congress. If she can get in and do the job that we need to be done, I support her, okay?
What does that even mean? That's just a platitude. But look, Adam Schiff is running ads right now, and he's basically saying, well, you know, the economy doesn't work for everybody, and I will make the economy work for everybody.
No, he needs
what does
to
that
be
even mean? And then he also says, look, we've heard this for decades and decades. And then he goes, we together we can accomplish big things.
No, he needs to be arrested. You know that.
This is a joke. But understand something. He's already in the political system. He's just looking to change seats. He's just looking to go from one to another, to stay in the system, continue to get paid, and to do nothing. We all know we're not going to accomplish big things, whatever that is. We all know he's not going to make the economy work better for everybody. It's just a platitude. And for you to say, well, Pradima can get in and make changes, well, I'm all behind her. It's just an empty platitude. I'm sorry.
Well, let me say this. If you've got a backup.
John, just a minute. I just want to say, Paul, I think Adam Schiff is a perfect example of your point, too. I mean, I couldn't agree more. John, go ahead, but then I want to come back to Pernima here for
I'm stressing this. If I had a backer, I could do a lot of good as a consultant to any person who's in office now or not. That's where I need money. Hopefully Pernima has a backer that's going to support her, and they have millions of dollars, like Steve Garvey just came out recently. He's got over $2 million. He's a famous name. He's a famous ball player. He'll go in and represent California as a state senator on the Republican side. But then he went off on a tangent and said something about the Ukraine. I said, well, there you go. And that kind of falls in with what Paul is saying. But I'm telling you again, I need a backer just to support me to help other people with the actual intel that's going on so we can expose this stuff so things can get done. I haven't seen anybody do it yet. So I'm just trying to hope that maybe Pernima
John, I don't know if you're paying attention. I know insult by my tone here, but it's already been exposed. It's everywhere. People know about it. It's on the internet. The fact of the matter is it's not going to change because the system is deliberately designed to do what it does. I mean, many people have covered this, but Mike Gatti, who's on RBN, covers it very well, talks about the very foundation where it's essentially set up by the aristocrats, our so-called constitutional republic, because they gave unlimited taxing power to the government, virtually unlimited. And if nobody on this panel has watched the Corporation Nation Master, where they cover how much wealth these people have sequestered through this system, then you just don't really understand what it is I'm trying to tell you.
No, I know. Yeah. I know more than you realize. It's like Chapo Guzman's worth $250 billion. He actually works for the CIA. They put him in prison because they can't control him, just like they killed these other leaders like Gaddafi over in Libya. See, he became independent. He told him he thumbed his nose at him, basically, and then they ended up killing him. Same thing with the other world leaders. If they don't play games, they kill you. I get that.
Right.
But I'm going way deep into stuff.
Listen, I'm very, very grateful, Paul, for the call, John, your participation throughout. I want Pernima to have the opportunity for closing out here. Pernima, I've been very, very happy to have you here and to hear your views, and I think you'd be a great improvement over your opponent. Please give us some final thoughts.
Oh, thank you, James. I appreciate you having me. I actually understand and also feel pessimist view of Paul as well. I understand. He has given up hope. But hope is the only thing that we can have. You all know about David and Goliath's story. Everybody knows about it. David wasn't supposed to defeat Goliath. He's the giant. He had the arms. And David was not supposed to be the one who defeats the Goliath. But the system that he's talking about is the Goliath. I mean, we all know about it. They're powerful. They have the resources. We kind of know about it. And saying that, we're not going to attempt saying that we should be pessimist enough to just, you know, throw our hands in the air and do nothing about it is wrong way to look at it. So when Paul says that, you know, you can change the system, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but somebody has to try for it. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. And Paul, you want to go ahead? I think you have a lot.
Well, I was just going to say, okay, well,
you go ahead, Pranima. Paul had his opportunity. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's all right. Paul, if you want, please bring me on to your shows. I'll be happy to speak on, and you can cut me off. You can, oppose me. I have no problem. We can debate perhaps in a better way. But regardless of it, what I'm saying is that we have to try. We understand the danger. We understand some of the experience that I bring in from my upbringing, from what I've seen. And I think very soon we're going to see those playing out right in front of our eyes in America. And I'm consistently speaking about it for a few years now. If we don't thwart it now, it's going to be quite late for at least 30 to 40 years. That means 1 to 2 generation is going to get into that race. And you don't want America to become a Pakistan. I just have to tell you that. And regardless of how much ever you have supported Pakistan against India, or how America was the nurturer and funders or all kinds of stuff in Pakistan or Afghanistan, please, I have to tell you that you don't want to become one of those land where you don't have any freedom of speech or expression or freedom of religion, freedom of life. Right to life. We just don't want that kind of country. And that's where America is going to. And I will fight with all my breath as long as I live, no matter what labeling one brings or what people say. I don't care whether, Paul today comes and says that she's not going to win. I hate to tell that. People try to act as a god. We are not God. You don't know what is going to happen. You don't know how things are going to change. And when people say Trump is a God, he's not. But he's a superhuman himself. He's doing well. He's fighting the system. And I think we should all align with people like that who can bring some changes. And that's where I am at, James and John.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me in the Brian Rouge Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Rouge Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe,
I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.